excellent. It's very weird when there's lots of meditation goes on, because it must warp time, because that one is getting faster and faster. This one is getting slower and slower. And no one knows what the right time is. Does anyone know what the right time is? No. It is now minutes past the now hour, on now day, on the now month of 2000 and now. Anyway, other people say it's 3 o'clock. But to me, it's now is the time for meditation, the time to let go of all the past and the future, so we can go inside this present moment and find out what's really happening inside. And this is one of the ideas of meditation, to go inside and inside and inside. But that's for people who've meditated before. For those people who come here for the first time, you're going to go outside and outside and outside to the door to my right here for the beginner's introduction to meditation class. Because this is for the ongoing meditators, for those who have not meditated before, and you come to the introduction to meditation class, the class where you learn the fundamentals, the beginning part of learning how to calm your mind and make it peaceful, and make it aware and wise. That is being held in the door outside in the room to my right. That's the introduction to meditation class. And this is the ongoing ones, the ongoing class. Where, because here, one of the differences is we assume that people know some meditation already, and in particular that they can meditate for about 40, 45 minutes. So the basic ones, basic part of meditation, are over in the room to my right. Those are the ones who are usually the clearest, simplest of minds. These are the the ones who know too much already and need to empty out a little bit more. Because sometimes, you know, have a bit of fun with words, mindful, mindful, mindful. If your mind is too full, how about emptying it a little bit? By learning how to let go and be a little bit more simple. So we're not going to talk about mindfulness today, mind simplicity, mind emptiness, cleaning up, tidying up the mind. So whenever you're doing a spring clean, what is one of the first things you'd like to empty out of your mind? Your past. I don't know what you've done, and all the terrible, terrible things which you've done, and all the terrible, terrible things which have happened to you. We always think about the terrible, terrible things which have happened to us, but somebody must have done that, and some of that is you. So anyway, so we let go of all of that stuff. Can we do that? Of course we can. What we do is we think, oh, that's being irresponsible. But this is meditation, 40 minutes of being irresponsible in the sense of learning a new meaning of responsibility. You don't have to keep holding that. You can put it down. And there's many, many ways of learning how to let things go. And the first thing is that you can. The realization that you can let go. And number two, there's nothing wrong with letting go. It's not a bad act. It's not sort of something which you're not allowed to do, or you get punished for or demeaned by. No, it's something you can do, something you should do, and then you learn how it's done. Just, why do we obsess with the faults of the past? See, I told you yesterday about the two chicken farmers. You must know that story. Two chicken farmers. Oh, here we go again then, because no one's really biting. So two chicken farmers, one chicken farmer goes into the shed to collect the produce of the night before, and goes into the shed with a basket and picks up all the chicken poo, puts that in the basket and leaves the eggs in the shed to rot. And he brings the chicken poo back into the house, where it makes a big stink in the house. That's a very dumb chicken farmer. doesn't know the difference between the poo and the eggs. And the second chicken farmer collects the eggs, leaves the poo in the shed to rot, becomes fertilizer later, but you don't bring it back in the house. And then brings it, the eggs in the house. We can make a nice omelette for his family's breakfast, sell the rest of the eggs in the market for cash. That's a smart chicken farmer. And the reason we tell that story is a metaphor. So, when you go back into your past, what do you put in your basket and bring back home with you? Are you an egg collector or a poo collector? And of course, most of us are poo collectors. We leave all the happy memories in the past to rot, and we collect all the bad stuff. Why do you do that? So at the very least, we can let go of all the poo of our past. I usually say all the shit of the past, but people get upset and say, oh, I've already said it anyway, so... So, we're not shit collectors, we're egg collectors. So one of the things we do there, we can let things go. First of all, let the bad stuff go. And then the good stuff, we can let that one go too. So we're free of the past. In the future, why don't you let the past go? It's so easy to let go of the future. You know, sometimes that when we talk about mindfulness, being aware, meditation, there's also something which we often forget is the kindness, which has to be added to it. That's why I did coin the word kindfulness. I remember the place where I thought of that word was in Hong Kong many years ago. Not just mindfulness, but kindfulness, adding the kindness to it. And how does that help with letting go? Be kind to your past. Give yourself the benefit of the doubt. Stop beating yourself up, punishing yourself for what you did or what other people did. So when you're kind, you can forgive, you can let it go. With that kindness to your past, then it's much easier to let it go. But when it gets to your future, the same kindness and awareness, who knows what's going to happen? So be kind to your future. In other words, with that kindness, there's always something which can happen. What was it when those monks of our tradition first went to Europe, and then they thought, is anyone going to feed us? And then remember Ajahn Chah saying, aren't there any kind people in Europe? Of course there are. Then you'll always get looked after. Don't be afraid when you know there are kind people around. Yeah, there's some bad dudes. There's also some very kind people as well. So that means you don't have any fear. You look at the future with kindness and appreciation, and then you'll find it's so easy to let go of the past as well as the future. As you'll soon find in this meditation. And also you add the kindness to this present moment. Are you happy to be here? All of those of you who arrived on time and know this is the ongoing class, and those people who have come for the introduction to meditation class, because quite a few people came in just after I gave the announcement. This, the ongoing class is here. The introduction to meditation class, for those learning meditation for the first time, is in the room to my right, over there. But anyway, so here, being kind to the future, being kind to the present moment. What does that really mean, being kind to this moment? Kind to this moment, you're here, right now, and is it the best? Oh, it's good enough. You're kind to it, you're compassionate to it, you care for this moment. You don't criticize it, judge it, demean it, stigmatize it, try and get rid of it, put rules and regulations on this present moment, what it should be, what it shouldn't be. Instead, you're kind to it, saying, the door of my heart is open to this moment, no matter what it is. Can you do that? At first, it may be difficult to be kind to this moment, but the longer you're kind to this moment, the more this moment becomes kind to you. What you see in other things, the other things show you. When you are kind to animals, the animals become kind to you. When you are kind to the birds, then the birds are kind to you. When you're kind to the weather is kind to you. Isn't it nice and cool today? Why? If you're kind, now people think, oh, Ajahn Brahm's really gone loopy. No. What happens? Oh, there's so many nice stories. Have you ever been in some sort of difficulty? You can't get your car boot opened, and then you're kind to it. There we go. It's okay, car. And then you find it opens up. Have you ever had any difficulty with an ATM machine? And that Hannah Gallagher, I forget what his name was now, but he was amazing. First time in Frankfurt University, that, I think it was Frankfurt, first day he passed the ATM and it made a gurgling sound. And he interpreted that, he read that as the ATM was welcoming him onto the campus. So he'd been trained in loving kindness, so he gave kindness back to the machine. ATM, may you be happy and well. May nobody hit you when they find they've got no money left in their account. ATM, may you never get pulled out of the wall by some thieves trying to sort of steal you. ATM, may you never run out of cash or your electricity run out. ATM, I care for you. Now, would you think that's stupid? But the result of that was one day, and I interrogated him many times. He said, yeah, it happened. He was having his lunch, just within maybe 10 meters of that ATM. No one had been close to it as long as when he first sat down, when he heard the noise again, the gurgling noise, and a 20 euro note came out from the machine. No one had keyed in anything, even touched it. What you give to others, others give back to you. You want to try that? But it actually happened. The ATM just gave him a 20 euro gift because he was kind. That's what kindness is. So if you can be kind to this moment, it happened. People say it was crazy, but no, it happened. So if you're kind to things, things are kind to you. You interfere with nature. So if you can do that to an ATM machine, surely you can do that to the guy you live with. You're very kind. May my partner be happy and well. And then you will cough up a 20, maybe euros, maybe $20 note. But no, what happens is that if you're kind to this moment, the moment is easy to live with, which means you have some stillness. You don't need to go anywhere, because when you're with this moment, it's nice to be with. So that's how kindness helps with the meditation. Don't just be mindful, be kindful. And if you don't believe it, it's now going to be demonstrated. So, if you'd like to get yourself nice and comfortable, and close your eyes. and bring your attention, first of all, onto your body. In other words, ask the question, how is your body right now? You're just asking, how are you? Even though that sometimes it can't give an accurate answer, at least you're paying attention and you're interested in your body's comfort. And that means a lot. Because when somebody would ask you, how are you? You may not be able to answer, but it means they're caring, paying attention, hoping they can help your welfare. And then, if you ask your body how it feels, act on what the body tells you back. It's amazing that people live in their own bodies, but they have not much sensitivity towards it. It's all how you should be sitting, what you should be doing, just rather than feeling what the body needs. So I like to start being a bit more meticulous by starting off with my legs. And I ask them, left leg, how you feel? Right leg, how about you? Anything you need? Do you need to be scratched? Are you itchy? Do you need to be adjusted? Those sitting on a chair, do your feet need to be pushed further away from the chair? Or pushed apart? The knees drawn in or pushed apart? And sometimes you do an experiment, trial and error, to find out what is the best position for you. Those on a chair, if you know the chair is too high for you, you put something underneath your feet to raise the feet. If the chair is too short, you put something underneath your bottom to raise your bottom up. Simple things. It's amazing that simple things can make a lot of difference. It's just kindness and looking for the simple solutions before you go into any more complex ones. Once your legs are comfortable, enter your bottom, making sure that's comfortable too. One of the things with wearing robes or loose clothing, sometimes it can fold. And it can dig into your flesh. And it causes just a bit of an ache and pain afterwards. So don't try and be tough. Just be wise. Move. Adjust. And once your butt is okay, then you can stretch your back. The back feels just really relaxed once you let it go. And you can lean back if you need to, see what it feels like. Especially on a chair you have a backrest. You want to lean forward, to the side, whatever. You find, for you, now, the best position. And your hands. Just you find, how do your hands feel now, and what's the best position for them today? I just check my hands and feel the tingling in the, especially in the tips of the fingers, with all those nerves there. Feel it. Making sure it's comfortable. Settling every part of your body into a state of peace. Knowing they're cared for, so you can relax them. It's like parking your car and making sure that everything is comfortable. Things are locked, valuables put away, so that when you go back after the meditation, the car is just ready and happy to be used after you've parked it well. So what you're doing here with your body, you're parking it. You're aware of your shoulders, relaxing them. How do you do that? Just focus your awareness on those areas. As you focus those areas, try a bit of this, try that, until you can relax those muscles. You may have heard me say, I usually imagine strings, a bunch of strings on either side of the spine, of the neck. There's my shoulder muscles. Sometimes it's like something is pulling them apart, stretching them. That stress, tension. And I imagine just letting go of both ends. Just that imagination tied to awareness of that part of my body. Feel the muscles, they actually do release and become loose again. Go up to my neck, make sure that that is nice and comfortable. If my head is too far forward, too far back to the side, if I meditate too long like that, you get neck ache. Up to my head, and the motions are played out on the tightness of the muscles around my eyes, on my mouth. I'm aware of those muscles, how they feel. Zoom in on them, get to know them, mindful, and then relax. Relaxing the muscles around my eyes and my mouth. And then just one last little mental exercise. I imagine my brain. I locate my brain behind my eyes, between my ears, somewhere around there. I imagine it being just worn out, tired. And imagine it almost like being massaged, being relaxed, rejuvenated. My brain doesn't need to think or to work out problems. You work too hard already, brain. Now's the time to have a break. Rest. Even give kindness to my own brain. And see if I can feel a change. State of peace and comfort. Like having a slave, my brain, being given a holiday, a day off. And with that kindness to all those parts of the body, and I look at my whole body, a unit sitting here. And I just see if I can pick up any tightness anywhere, any aches. Anything which needs a final adjustment. If I can find something, then focus on it, zoom in on it, and learn how to relax just a part of the body. Not the whole body, just a part which is the most disturbing. Out of kindness. When I do, relax it, and the whole body feels pleasant. When your body relaxes, it becomes delightful. Beautiful feeling. Because you're kind, you can be with your body. Kindfulness. But also the feelings in the body, the sensations, only exist in the present moment. So it straight away brings you into this moment. Just being with the feelings of the body. Because it's present, you don't need to do anything. It's like warm and accepting. So you can just relax in to the pleasure of a relaxed body. And if you want, you can move to this mind, which also needs some TLC, some tender, loving kindfulness, TLK. So imagine my peaceometer. Ajahn Brahm, how peaceful are you right now? 1 to 10. As soon as I know how peaceful I am, I'm looking at the right place. One of the most important parts of your mind, that which you can feel is telling you you're peaceful or you're agitated, distressed. And you keep watching your peaceometer, and you learn by a little bit of trial and error what makes you more peaceful. What makes you agitated? Fear, control, that makes you agitated. You're safe here. You don't need to achieve anything or be judged. You don't need to worry about the future. The past you leave outside with your shoes. Now you're just here. No discriminating, no judging, just being. See what that does to your peaceometer. Being kind, opening the door of your heart to this moment. Probably already the past and the future have just become kind of irrelevant. In this moment, the place where your future is being made, this present moment will be your past. So let's make it a good moment. And I'm kind to this moment. The more I'm kind to this moment and confident that this is where I can do the very best for my future in this moment, and I deserve to have some rest, that kindness and appreciation allow me just to be without trying to live up to anybody's expectations or to achieve any results. I keep a look on my peaceometer and see how peaceful I can be. And of course, if you need to adjust your body, please do so. If you need to cough, cough. you need to adjust and move, please move. It's just basic kindness. It doesn't make you that disturbed. It means you're happy to be here. Many people just become aware of their breath. If it happens, fine. If it doesn't happen, just keep being peaceful. See if you can feel what peace is like and just make that your focus in this moment, just being peace. Some people need something a bit more solid to rest their awareness on. So you may try your breathing. Feeling of the breath as it comes into your body. So you can catch it at the very beginning. Be with it as it breath comes right into your body and then finishes. To notice the pause before the out breath begins and the breath is exhaled from your body. Bringing in energy, life. Peace, taking out negativity, tiredness, sickness, breathing in peace, breathing out, let go. I'll be quiet now. When I speak again, it'll be just before the meditation ends. into the moment. Kindfulness allows you to be still. Allows you to be here. Instead of always wandering away. Looking for happiness anywhere but right here. How do you feel? Now I'm going to ring the gong 3 times. When the last ringing of the gong fades, then it is the end of the meditation and you may open your eyes. Very good. So, if there are some questions from overseas, first of all, on the meditation time, it takes a while for people, hopefully, to really start getting alert. So here we go, from 3 questions. What is the best practical way to overcome drowsiness and sleepiness while meditating? That's the first question. It's one of those hindrances. One of the best ways of doing that is just before you meditate to make sure you're just taking it easy, you're not getting stressed out. Otherwise, when you meditate, your brain is just going to take the opportunity to catch up on some rest time. Sometimes, right in the middle, you say, what's the best way to pass your exams? It's not why you're doing the exam or sitting in the exam room. It's actually what happens before. That is so important to doing well in an exam. In this particular case, drowsiness and sleepiness while meditating. If you are on a retreat, I'll send you to go back to bed, take a break. I don't know how many times I gave that advice when teaching 9-day meditation retreats. I can't, that's wasting time. Then go back to bed. But it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. Go to bed. Don't set the alarm. And people do that. When you get up, have a shower, have a cup of tea, orange juice, whatever. And they always report some of the best meditations. Simply because they're not fighting their mind, not fighting the body. So, but if it's drowsiness and sleepiness while meditating, sometimes you can test out whether it's the right temperature for you. Because I remember that in staying in Thailand, the first times that once we were doing our visas, and I went down to Bangkok, and the place we could stay was in a monastery in the center of town, Wat Pho Won. And this was so many years ago, they actually had a room which had an aircon. And because we would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and just we start meditating by 3:30, that no one else in that monastery was using the room at that time. So we asked for the key, and it was given to us. We'd meditate there in the morning, no sloth and torpor at all. Just because the temperature was just right. I was made in England, not in Thailand. And so anyone who was in that very close, hot environment, you know, you do get sleepy. And I wasn't sort of all that well fed in those days, believe it or not. I was all skin and bones because there's hardly any nutrition in the food. And I was trying to stay awake too long and just not sleeping enough. But just the change in external conditions, just having a cool temperature instead of just boiling hot. I always say in Thailand at the time there were three seasons in Thailand. There was a hot season, the very hot season, and the hot and wet season. All hot seasons, no cold season. It is also hot. But anyway, just that was just shocked me. That what it took to overcome my sloth and torpor, just a nice climate. It was the case. So anyway, that's one thing. But the worst thing you can do, if it's during meditation and you are sleepy, the worst thing is to fight it. If you fight it, sometimes you can break through, but all it means is you're wasting so much energy. So these days, if I'm tired, it's a reason for it, I don't know. It could be some sickness, it could be some virus, it could be all sorts of stuff. And sometimes it takes a while for you to know. But then I just, with my body, just let it be. Let it be. Don't fight it. Be aware. Yeah, you're not that aware, but you're aware enough to know you're sleepy, but you're not asleep. And when you don't fight it, it means you're not wasting the limited amount of energy you have. And as you just are mindful of the sleepiness as best you can, but not fighting, not trying to cure it, but to care for it. The door of my heart's open to you, sleepiness. Just be with it as best you can. And then because you don't fight, energy starts to come back. You generate energy in your body because you don't waste it. You generate it. It's just like you may have a pension, and if you don't spend it, the money accumulates. So the energy source in your body, you're not wasting it, the energy accumulates, and it's wonderful to see. Just you're sleepy, especially early in the morning, sleepy, and then energy starts to come. It comes and comes and comes, and you're energized again. You're alive, you're awake. If you fight, you waste. If you're peaceful, then you regenerate. One of the other ways is because sometimes we're negative. Keep a positive attitude towards our life. Nothing wrong with you. You don't have to show off. It's okay to fall over when you're meditating or whatever. But when you don't afraid of it, then sometimes you find that drowsiness is again another form of escape into fantasy land. I learned that because when I used to teach at Kaina Prison Farm, or other prison farms as well, prisons as well in West Australia, they had this saying in prison that 1 hour extra sleep is 1 hour off your sentence. You can understand what that meant. So it's nice to be able just to not try and escape. Anyway, from Toronto, how to practice mindfulness in day-to-day basis. And that's Ajahn Chah's little story. If you are sweeping, give it everything you've got. When you're sweeping, you really sweep. You don't talk Dhamma to people and start to discuss the meaning of life or think what you're going to do next. You put all your effort into sweeping. When you're driving the car, you're not watching your breath. If you do, you're not watching the traffic. You watch the traffic, but you're right there and you're not at your destination, wherever that happens to be. That you're right in this particular position, in the road, at this particular time, you're right there, putting all of your attention, all of your effort into what you're doing right now. When you are asleep, or going to sleep, you put 100% effort into sleeping, in bed. It's not the time for working about, what you're going to do tomorrow, or for, thinking with anxiety about all the problems of today. You do one thing at a time, that one thing at a time practice, really focusing on it, give everything you've got. When it's time to meditate, you're not thinking of your relationship problems, you're not thinking of your money problems, you're not thinking of any problems, you're just meditating. That is one wonderful way to be mindful, to be kindful, in this moment, putting all your attention on what is needed to be done right now. That's a great way, because sometimes people say, to be mindful, you have to be watching your breath all the time. If you're watching your breath when you're supposed to be watching the traffic, then you have crashes. Sometimes people say, I was supposed to be watching my feet as I move. And if you do lots of walking meditation, you're watching your feet, takes forever to go across an intersection. And then the little green man has turned to red a long time before you're even halfway across, and that's also dangerous. So you have to, mindfulness is like being right here in this moment, and then you know, with kindness, the appropriate thing to do. Lastly, for North Carolina, I've been experiencing impatience in my work. I find a similar impatience during meditation. What's the antidote to impatience? How can I cultivate more patience? Okay, it's just to realize you're not in control. And you can't control other people. People are going to let you down. And you're one of those people that let other people down. You're not sort of was the chief executive of Changi Airport Corporation. He told me, how many of you, when you go to work, you always blame, oh, the corporate culture is terrible, people are so unkind in the office. But why don't many of you go into work and you have go into work with the resolution you're going to make one person, at least one person, happy today? And I was the only one to put my hand up, because that's my job, to go and give talks and try and make people happy. But then people realize getting other people to do things is not the point. Are you impatient with others? Is other people letting you down? Have you got unrealistic expectations of what it's done? Now! I say that because that's another way to overcome sleepiness in meditation. The teacher raises the voice and wakes people up. Now, impatience, sometimes it's great if we can get it done now, but you can't get it done now. So this is one of the reasons why we learn how to be kind to others and kind to ourselves. Give everybody a break. If you want to learn patience, go and ring up a government office and you will hear, your call is important to us. The first available operator will attend to your call. And 2 hours later, you're the first. That's where you can learn some patience, which often happens. But impatience, because we expect we're such busy people. So how about learning to be less busy? Then what mean impatience? You've only got one moment, this moment, and see if you can just let this moment be and be kind. What are you rushing towards? Why are you so busy? What are you trying to get? Here in Perth, there's only three places you can get to: Fremantle Cemetery, Pinneroo Cemetery, or Karrakatta Cemetery. So do you really want a race to be there? Be impatient. When am I going to get to die? When am I going to get to die? When am I going to get to die? How about learning more patience and enjoying the journey to the funeral home? Way before sort of you're close. So that's how to do impatience. How can I cultivate more patience? Just even in meditation, just learn to be in this moment and to enjoy this moment, to be kind to this moment. When you have happiness in this moment, it's just nice being here. Why on earth do you want to be somewhere else? And not asking from this world something it can never give you: instant results. So we just wait in this moment. Otherwise, if you wait in the future never happens. Not the way you want it to happen. That's why you get frustrated. The least demands, the least impatience. Anyway, any comments or questions about that from the wonderful people in Dhammaloka Center who never get a chance to ask any questions because they all over the world takes precedence. Anyone over here has got a question? I'm now demonstrating Patience. Are you impatient to go? One guy is impatient. You can go, grab toilet or whatever. Oh, yeah. Okay. Just, when it's time to let go, it's a time to let go. But please, don't do it in here. The toilets are just over there and to the right. Okay. So now we could just finish off and just bow a few times, and then we can go and do what we need to do.